We got the box truck. Ann, are you in here this morning? Where are you? Wave at me if you're here. Oh, there you are. Ann gave us the box truck because God told her. We've been using that ever since, and we thank you so much for that. You all filled it up with literally thousands, I don't know how many, thousand or more gifts, maybe 2,000. It seemed like when we opened up that box truck, it was absolutely filled. And we doubled, if not more than doubled, all the gifts that had already been collected. You all gave amazing amount. Thank you so much. You know, it was kind of a weird experience. Can I take just a minute and tell you a little bit before I preach here? All right. Thank you. You know, they were, speaking of Fox, and they're so gracious, and we really found favor with them. I mean, amazing favor. They were a little apprehensive about us, I think, because they didn't know what to expect. You know, here we are, like a church group, coming out there to sponsor Giving Tree. And I said, well, we'll bring a choir, we'll bring our musicians, you know, and all of that. And, I mean, I think they were just astounded at the musicianship, the ability, the choir. And we didn't even have our best choir out there. I told you I was in it. And, and they were talking about the spirit and the energy and the power that they were feeling and how wonderful it was. And it's amazing at the end of the night, this is after 12 hours out there, the news director comes out and tells us thank you and literally starts crying and says, we love you guys so much. And I'm like, we love you too, you know. I mean, it was just an amazing connection of partnering together to do something positive in our city. And, you know, there was the Northeastern Ohio Honda. They were the big sponsor. They put all the money out for this. We're a little sponsor. We're the co-sponsor, but we're the little one. Well, Monday, when they announced this Giving Tree, we weren't even on the graphic. Giving Tree sponsored by Northeastern Ohio Honda. And I wrote our account executive. I said, what happened to us? I know we're not a big account, but, oh, it's just an oversight, and we'll get you on for tonight. And did you see that last two-minute summary that Fox 8 produced? This year's Giving Tree, sponsored by Church on the North Coast and Northeastern Ohio Honda. Did you see that? That was amazing. Well, the guy from Northeastern Ohio Honda, bless his heart, he was supposed to do a 7 o'clock interview live with Kenny Crumpton. 7 a.m. Yeah, 7 a.m. interview, and I'm there 10 to 6, so I'm ready to roll. And the lady comes up, she goes, look, Honda's not here. If he doesn't show up, do you want to go on camera? I said, yeah, I was born ready. I'm ready. So about 5 till she goes, he's still not here, you're coming on. I said, all right. So I got his spot at 7 o'clock. I'm like, hey, Church on the North Coast, you know. And we, if you had to buy the airtime on Wednesday, plus all the follow-up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I don't know if they played it today, it would have cost probably just for that day $15,000 to $20,000. And that's how much favor that the Lord showed us. So I'm thankful. Thank you for your support. Hey, listen to this. They invited our choir back. I'm talking about the makeup ship choir. They invited them, me, to come back and appear on the morning show between now and Christmas to be the featured in-studio music guest. I'm like, whoa. I'm going, John. I'm showing up. No, I'm not going to miss this opportunity. I sang out there for 12 hours. I'm going in the studio. And that was amazing. And then the station manager comes down, talks to everybody, comes over, says how much they appreciate us. And he asked me if I'd like to go golfing with him. And I said, well, I don't know how to golf. But sure, let's go golf. And how much he appreciated us. And here's the opportunity that they've given to us, and you pray about it. They like us. I mean, that's just all there is to it. They love the Spirit of God and the anointing. And they invited us to participate in an upcoming event this winter. St. Jude's Children's Cancer Hospital in Memphis. They have fundraisers around the country because, you know, they don't turn away any family who needs treatment for their children for cancer. So they're going to be building a house in an exclusive neighborhood in Avon called Redtail. It's right on a golf course. And they want to know if we want to co-sponsor this St. Jude's event with another company. And I thought, well, you know, that would be great. What can you offer and how much is it going to cost? Well, they would give us another 9 weeks on Sunday morning television, 10 o'clock on 8.2. They would give us Moments of Hope commercials throughout the week in the morning news. They would give us over 500,000. I said, that's a lot. How can you do that? But some kind of hits on their website over that period of time. It would lead up to Resurrection Sunday morning, March 31st. They would put a banner of our church inside the house saying we sponsored it. They would allow us to put our literature on the coffee tables, end tables, kitchen, dining room to tell them about our ministry. And then the Lord gave me this thought. Why not partner with St. Jude's, with the families from Northeastern Ohio that are taking their children for treatment, to assign families in our church to those families as a prayer partner to support them during the time that they're going through this. I thought, God, that'll be a huge connection. So I really feel like it was a God thing, but I don't want to put our church into debt. So here's my question. We need to raise $12,000. Now, that's a lot of money, it sounds like. But let me tell you something. One 30-minute show on TV can cost $3,000 to $6,000 for 30 minutes. And I believe that for $12,000, we'll get the 9 weeks on Sunday morning, all the Moments of Hope commercials, the co-sponsorship in the house, and a chance to connect with families potentially. Now, I haven't got the approval yet, but I'm planning on talking to St. Jude's, and I think they'll allow us to do this with families who are going through crises right now and give them the message of hope and help and healing in Jesus' name and connect that family with families in our church who can stand alongside of them and say, Jesus cares, Jesus understands, and Jesus heals. And we can be a support to them during these moments. So I'm asking for 12 disciples. That's all I need is 12 disciples, and we can change this whole world. I need 12 people that will say, Pastor, we will pledge $1,000 between now and March 1st to help cover the expenses of this campaign. And if you'll do that, I'll call them next week and say, okay, we'll sign the contract. But here's the key. If you say you're going to, don't leave me hanging. Because if I sign that contract, we have to pay the bill. And this is an opportunity again for us to impact this northeastern Ohio region. Let me tell you this. Fox 8 News at any given time has 80,000 viewers. Up to 80,000 viewers at any given time. They are the number one news station in northeastern Ohio. The day we were out there collecting gifts, our website spiked to about 170, 180, how many? Yeah, about 170 to 180 hits, which is over 125 over the normal. So while people were watching us sing, I'm going to give, I'm going to give, I'm going to give today, they were checking us out on the website. And I believe they're going to be impacted by the love. They're going to be impacted by the fact that we are multicultural. See, they don't know what to do with us. They don't. They're like, who are you? Where are you from? Multi-generational. We had little kids singing in the choir. Musicianship. Let me tell you this one quick story. I know I've been talking 7 minutes. I'll try to hurry. A lady came out of the car, older lady. She says, I have played with the symphony, the orchestra, the pops. I am an accomplished musician. Where are those musicians? She was real aggressive. I said, well, they're right there underneath the tent. They are some of the best musicians I've ever heard in my life. I wanted them to know what I think about their ability. Do you remember that lady? She said, who is that man over there? I said, that's Pastor Leon Timbo. She goes, he's great. I said, I know. And she just raved and raved. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you should be very proud of not only the volunteers, the giving, the musicianship, the choir, the opportunity God has given us, and to throw it, you know, like the cherry on the cake. Jonathan's here. Stand up, Jonathan. He shows up on a morning, and we say, get your trumpet out. So he plays Oh Holy Night or something. What did you play? What Child Is This? And the cameras come out there, and they're playing. You thought he was like, you know, number one trumpet player in all the world. They're all, oh, get this, get this, get this. And he's good. He's good. But he's playing What Child Is This live on Fox 8. And I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful. Thank you so much for what you've done. Pastor Leon, you were incredible. Thank you. You sang with me. Thank you, Priscilla. Thank you, Mommy. Thank you. You're so darling. All right. Amen. So if you see me, Twitter me, Facebook, email, tap me on the shoulder or call the office and say, I'm in. I'll help you with the $1,000 because I believe this is an opportunity and I won't do it unless we raise the money. Okay, so I'll keep you posted. You smiling? How many are smiling? How many are not really, really happy right now? All right. Thank you. Thank you so much again. Hey, my wife, Dominic, he learned a lesson in the first service. He told everybody her age. Yeah. Yeah, so the cat's out of the bag. I never knew that I would enjoy as much as I do kissing a grandmother. Check that, great-grandmother. But she's going to be doing the big, can I do it? Yeah, the big 6-0 next Sunday. Yeah, one visitor in the first service came up. She said, she is not 60. She said, there is no way she's 60. I want to see her driver's license. That's what she said. I said, believe me, she's 60. Come on, take your Bible out, ladies and gentlemen. Did you come expecting a word from God? Yes. Amen. Are you thankful for all that Jesus has done for you? This is a week of thanksgiving, a week of celebration. Hallelujah. Hey, they're working over there night and day. Not night and day, but they're working daily over there, getting things done. I think they've got, yep, the sprinklers are all in here now. So don't turn them on. This would be a disaster. But things are progressing, and hopefully we'll be in there in a not too distant future. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. I want you to read this scripture with me because I want you to get this down in your spirit, okay? Let's read it. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Stop there. Let's read it again. Ready? For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So I want to stop there and just say, there is nothing in the world that you'll ever face that can overcome you if you've been born of God. I just want to encourage you right now because you might be going through a real difficult time, but you're going to end up winning. All right? Let's read the rest. Ready? And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You know, from time to time, Tina and I go into different directions during the day. She's on one assignment. I'm on another. And occasionally, I need to speak with her. So I'm up in my office, and I dial her number, and I hear this faint phone ringing. I identify it as her tone, and it's down the stairs in the kitchen. Now, mind you, she's gone. And so I go downstairs and answer the phone and say hello to myself and think, well, what good is this? Now, we both have smartphones, but it's not very smart if you don't take it with you, right? It's not effective if you don't have it with you. Let me just say this. Life will constantly change. Don't ever expect things to remain the same. Understand this as well. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. The Bible said, if anybody's born of God, guess what? You overcome it too. So you might be in the middle of a trial or a middle of a circumstance that is defying your testimony right now. But it's only a matter of time before you see the breakthrough. Now, I want you to know this as well, that when you get up in the morning, you've got to get a mind that's made up that says, I'm not leaving my faith at home like I often leave my cell phone. I'm going to stay tethered by the line of faith to the God of promise, regardless of what happens in my present. No, regardless of how weirded out people become around me. How many know that there are some weird people out there? Some of us have some in our families. Come on, you know that's right. But see, if your mind's not been renewed by the Word of God, you are a little bit mentally, you know, I didn't say that, but you know what I'm saying. You're off a bit. So people that you interact with whose minds have not been renewed by the Word of God are not mentally right. Their thinking is wrong. Their responses are off. Their faith has been disconnected. They're not operating in the same frequency that you are. And it's impossible to connect them in the natural. They've got to make the same connection that you and I make. And that is that we operate by faith, not by sight. Amen? That we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, Philippians chapter 2, what a great message in verse 9. The Bible says that God highly exalted him, speaking of Jesus, and gave him a name which is above every name. Come on, what's that name?
Jesus.
I want you to know that that name, in that name, you could be born again this morning. Did you know in that name you can experience deliverance from any oppressive spirit? Did you know in that name of Jesus you could be healed in your physical body right now, even as I'm preaching this word? All you got to do is call. The Bible says if you call upon that name, you can be saved. You can be delivered. You can be healed. You can have the joy and the peace of God put back in your life. So he's given us a name. You see, this morning, regardless of what you're going through, you and I have to identify with the name that's above every name. You need to put your Bibles aside and flip up your hand and just say, thank you, Jesus. The name above every name, at that name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. To the glory of the Father. Yes. Man, at that name, he's given us a name. But you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to steal your identity. He wants to take that name from us. And here's how he does it. He does it through circumstantial evidence. He does it through betrayal. He does it through loss of property and possession. He does it through layoff notices and a downturn in the economy. He does it with a rebellious son or daughter in your house. He does it with a hard-headed husband or wife. He does it with too much month at the end of your money. He does it with all these little things that come into our lives. Now, how many of you this morning can name for me the three Hebrew young men in the book of Daniel? Wrong. That's not their names. Who said that? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now listen, the reason why we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is because we have adopted the identity that the king of Babylon laid on them. That's not who they are. That's not who they were. That's not who they'll ever be. But the church has come to a place of acknowledging what the world imposes on the men and women of God. But notice something about those three Hebrew boys. They refused to allow the identity of a Babylonian environment to change who they were. They refused to allow their heritage, their history, and their hope to be polluted by one person's authority who had the ability to change an environment around them. They maintained who they were in God. Let me just say this, if any man be in Christ. Come on, tap somebody, if any man be in Christ. Come on, tell him he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are becoming new. You ought to shout hallelujah right there and thank God that you're not who you used to be. Now notice something. Hananiah means this. God is gracious. Everybody say it with me. God is gracious. Hananiah, God is gracious. But watch this. Mishael means this. God is my resemblance. Watch this. Because now we see Azariah, God is my helper. So Hananiah, it tells us that God is my grace point, my support. He's the one that's connected me to covenant. Mishael says, I look like my daddy. I look just like my father. Azariah, we see in here how he understands that no matter if I look like him, I know that his grace is connecting me. He's going to help me. God's going to help me. But here comes the king of Babylon. And Babylon really is symbolic. If you understand the Hebrew, it means this. It means carnality and hostility. So we see how Israel was taken captive from a land of promise and deposited into a hostile environment. How they were taken from the blessings of God and laid into an environment of carnal expression. Some of us have had the same experience. The devil likes to transport us, take us captive, lay us into an environment that becomes hostile, that becomes carnal, that becomes immoral, that becomes very difficult, and it begins to press us on every side. And then the king walks in and says, you no longer look like your God, you no longer have the grace of God, and you no longer will receive the help of your God. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter where you find yourself today, please do not leave your faith at home. Your faith in God, regardless of where you find yourself at this present moment, is your ticket to victory and your ticket to complete restoration in what God wants to do in you and me. You and I should never succumb to the hostilities that are being demonstrated against us. I remember this morning as we reflected on this message, a young woman who has dealt with alcohol for most of her adult life, been through rehab after rehab, has done some pretty crazy things with her children, her husband, desperate for alcohol, will drink almost anything to satisfy the addiction. At that point, family, friends, children can be looking at that woman and call her Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Because the enemy has created a hostile environment around her and stripped her of who God made her to be through the addiction of alcohol and labeled her as a loser, as a mother that can't raise her children, as a woman who can't keep a job, as a person who is not trustworthy. And suddenly now everybody's relating to her as an alcoholic. You follow me? I don't know what the enemy's trying to label you with or has in the past, but can I make an announcement? It doesn't matter how hostile the environment. It doesn't matter how carnal the situation around you. Let me tell you something. If you've been born of God, if you have been born again and walk by faith and not by sight, you need to stand tall in your faith and refuse to let faith go, because you know that God is about to overcome every circumstance in your life. I like to say it this way. You may have done what they said you did, but you are not who they say you are. Come on. Yeah, I may have gotten drunk, but I'm not who you say I am. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not some pervert. I'm not a thief. I'm not untrustworthy. No, I'm a man of God, and I'm holding on to my faith, and God's got me tethered, and He's pulling me into a place of victory. Amen. Come on, lift up your hand and shout hallelujah. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you lose your faith, you're going to lose your identity. Don't you dare lose your faith. Don't you dare give up on God. God will never give up on you. You may not have a support. You may not have church members that will stay with you. You may not have a pastor that believes in you. You may not have a mother or father that will pray for you. But let me tell you something. Don't give up on faith, because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. It overcomes hostility. It overcomes carnality. You can call me an alcoholic if you want to. You can call me a loser if that's what you decide. But honey, my name is not Shadrach, and it's not Meshach, and it's not Abednego. You better call me Hananiah up in here. You better call me Azariah up in here. You better call me Mishael up in here. We got to change the mentality of the church. Stop calling them Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I refuse to agree with the plan of the devil. Let me just give you a little insight on Shadrach. Shadrach. Hananiah, God is gracious. No, your name is Shadrach, which simply means this. You are now under command of Aku. Aku is the god of the Babylonians. Your God is no gracious no longer to you. You are now under the command of the god of Babylon, Shadrach. You know, if you hear that enough, you'll start believing it. You'll start calling yourself Shadrach, under the command of the god of this world. But that's not who God made you to be. God didn't make you to become a person subservient, submitting your will to the god of this world, but to stand in defiance of the powers and principalities of the air and declare that I am bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Misha. Everybody say Meshach. That's pretty good. Instead of rather than his original name, God is your resemblance. Meshach means you are now like God Aku. Hey, Meshach. Don't call me Meshach. Them's fighting words. In other words, you now resemble the god of Babylon. No. I resemble the god of grace and covenant. No, you don't. You resemble the god of Aku, the god of Babylon. That's who you look like. That's who you act like. That's who you talk like. That's what you do. That's who you copy. That's what you identify with. You got it? That's who you are. And the church has been receiving this false impression or this false identity that we are just like them. You're not. Say, don't call me. Come on, come on, help me. Say, don't call me. Meshach. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. My aspiration and goal in this life is one. If you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. If you hear my voice, you hear His voice. If you hear my prayer, you hear His prayer. If you watch me operate in faith, you see His faith. Because it's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by... Come on. I live by... Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego, servant of the gods of Babylon. We're changing your name from Azariah to Abednego. You get it? No longer is God your helper, but the gods of this world will help you. The devil's attempt is to change our identity. If you let go of faith, you will be conformed to that image. You and I have got to hold on to faith. Because the Hebrew boys, when they came into Babylon, understand sometimes you cannot avoid trial. Sometimes you can't skirt trouble. Sometimes there's going to be captivity come into your home and into your family. Sometimes there's going to be sickness that might try to knock on the door of your home. Sometimes there's going to be poverty that's going to try to strip you from all of your needs being met. Understand something. The enemy will take you captive. But when he takes you captive, his goal isn't just to contain you. It is to change you. That's why Naomi said, call me bitter. Call me Mara. Don't call me Naomi. My circumstances so weighed on me. The loss of my children, the loss of my husband, the loss of my homeland, the loss of everything has literally changed my identity from a woman who believed God is able to a woman who's become bitter. You know how many people walk around today bitter? How many people walk around depressed? They wouldn't even know how to live if they had a good day. They think depression is normal. They think rejection is the way it ought to be. They live angry. They wake up angry. They go through the day angry. They look for opportunities to express their anger at other people. They take it out on people they love and then regret it and go into deeper depression. It is a bondage of the God of this world. But I'm here to tell you, you can be in the middle of captivity, but you don't have to change your identity because God has a plan for your life and He's about to promote you. Even though you're going to walk through the fiery trial of the furnace of affliction, God is able. Come on, lift up a hand and shout, God is able. I'll do it again. God is able. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when they went to Babylon and they left their homeland, they brought something with them. Oh, they didn't have their possessions. They didn't have their homes. They didn't have all of their jewelry. They didn't have their titles. They didn't have any of those things. But let me tell you what they had. You see, when they came into Babylon, they brought something with them. They brought the word that says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will give you the desire of your heart. They brought something with them. Delight yourself in the Lord. They brought something with them. Fret not thyself of evildoers. They brought something with them. You shall have no other gods before you. See, everything in life changes. Don't try to keep it the same. We gathered Thursday, like many families, 22 of us. Not like it used to be, but just Tina and me. Then we got the first child, who was Tina, me, and little Mary. That was okay. And then it was Tina, me, Mary and April, and then it was Tina, me, April, Becca, and then it was Tina, me, Mary, April, Becca, their boyfriends, and Louie, and then his buddy down the street, and then it was Tina and me, and then it was Mary and Adrian, and Olivia, Dominic and Dion, and then it was April, it was Creed, and Lindsay, and Little Creed, and Caden, and then it was Becca, and then Troy, and then Caleb, and Preston, and it was, I can't even remember all their names, but it was like, it's like things have changed around. I remember I used to get to our little camcorder. You remember the VHSs? Anybody in here old enough to remember that? Okay. I put it up on a tripod, and I just aimed it at our Thanksgiving table. It was perfect. We had the turkey in the middle, our family sitting around, and we were going to all tell everybody what we're thankful for. And I put that on there, and I said, okay, kids. I was the pastor, you know. I said, now it's time to say what we're thankful for. The kids are all looking at me, rolling their eyes, thinking, okay, here we go. Let's pacify Dad. So the first one would say, I'm thankful for whatever. And I said, that's all? That's all you're thankful for? Well, Dad, what do you want me to say? I don't know. I mean, you knew this was Thanksgiving for a whole year. You couldn't come up with anything better than that? That's all you're thankful for? Meanwhile, we're recording. Kid number two, kid number three. Tita's looking at me thinking, why is this going so long? I said, I don't know. I feel like it's a church service. It's supposed to do this. I'm the pastor of the church. We're supposed to be thankful. I'm not eating until we're all thankful. Do you hear that? I wanted to find the VHS so I could show all my grandkids this past week. But thank God we've lost that film. But it's wonderful and fuzzy and all of those feelings that you might get when you reflect back on your past. Life changes. Look over at somebody and say, life changes. You could be having the day of your life, the happiness overwhelming, all your ducks in a row, everybody loving you, singing your praises, supporting you, everything in life no better than it can possibly be at this very moment, and then suddenly life changes. Ladies and gentlemen, understand something. It's an attempt of the enemy to change your identity. It's an attempt of the enemy to somehow get you confused about your heritage, about your history. Can I tell you, I might be in a situation of unrest, but I can't let go of my history, because I remember there was a day when I was in a moment of unrest, when God in His great peace came into my life and swept over my soul and met my very need in the midst of a very trying time. You see, I might be in an unrestful moment, but I can't let go of my history. I got to pull it in by faith and say, if God was good to me then, God will be good to me now, because it's my history. It's my heritage. It's my hope. How many in here have ever been through a fiery trial in your life? Let me see your hand. Come on, hold it up. Hold it up. All right, wave it at me. Come on. Now look around. Look around. Look around. Okay, great. Now put your hands down. Now, how many of you came out of that fiery trial victoriously? Let me see your hand. Look at you. Woo! Okay. Put your hands down. How many are right now in the middle of a fiery trial, and you don't know if you're going to make it or not, but you know you're fighting a good fight of faith, but you're right in the middle of a fiery trial. Let me see your hand. Look at all these fiery trial people. Okay, all right. Then I want every person who's in a fiery trial to stand up on your feet. Just for a minute. Come on, appease the old preacher. Come on, stand up if you're in a fiery trial. Okay, everybody else, look around at them. Look around at them. And if there's anybody else left who's ever gone through a fiery trial, who's come out victorious on the other side, I want you to stand up and look at them and say, it's almost over, and you're going to be the winner. Come on, somebody. So the God of this world had this idea. I'm going to build me a 90-foot statue. when the music plays, y'all got to bow down and worship it. The Hebrew words of worship or bow down there are very interesting, if you can put them up on the screen, because it actually means to die. It means to submit. It means to wither. It means to yield. It means to surrender. So Nebuchadnezzar was saying, look, when the music begins to play, you see this image. I want you to wither, die, yield from everything you used to know, from the God that you used to serve. You wither, you die, and you yield. And now I want you to submit and I want you to surrender to this new God that's taken his place. And it's interesting because in Daniel chapter 3, all the people said amen, but three. I think that's why Jesus said if two or three agree touching anything. Can I find two or three in here who will say, hold on, preacher, because I believe that God is faithful. And no matter what you're facing right now, you don't have to surrender. You don't have to submit. You don't have to wither. You don't have to die. You don't have to yield to the God of this world who is trying to change your identity through all kinds of fiery trial, because God is able. You understand what I'm saying? God is able. So all of them bowed but three. Now, you know the story. I don't have to preach this. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't very happy. And let me just say this. If you're in a fiery trial right now, it'll probably get worse. Say, thanks a lot, Pastor. I came here for some encouragement, and you told me that things are going to get worse. It was already bad for the three Hebrew boys. They refused to bow down. And Nebuchadnezzar says, all right, I'm going to throw you in the furnace of affliction, of trial. But I'm going to heat it up seven times hotter. Say that one more time. Seven times hotter. One more time. Ready? Seven times hotter to a person who has not lost their identity, who understands their history, their hope, and their heritage. You should have said eight. You could have said six. But my God, did I just hear him say seven times hotter? Did I just hear him say seven? Well, my God, that's the number of my covenant God. He's going to heat up this trial seven times hotter. That's all right. Bring it on, King. I'm ready. So they bound them up, dropped them in. But on the way to the fiery furnace, they said, King, our God shall deliver us. But if he doesn't, it's all right because we're not coming into your hand. We came here with a made-up mind. I went to the doctor's office with a made-up mind. Come on, I went to the counseling for my bad marriage with a made-up mind. This thing's going to work. I went to my daughter and my son with a made-up mind. I went to my employer with a made-up mind. I went to my day with a made-up mind. I know that my God is able. It's interesting. They said, bind them. Throw them in. So Nebuchadnezzar's looking. He's going, my goodness. Didn't we put three in there? There's a fourth one in there, and he's got the appearance of a son of God. You shouldn't have said seven. You see, he'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. See, to a man or a woman who refuses to lose their identity and to let go of faith, know that no matter how things become, how difficult, how trying, how hard, he knows that God has got to show up in the midst of that trial, because he is faithful. And if you hold on to faith, no matter what the world tries to do to you, your faith will overcome that world's offensive. Don't give up and don't quit. Come on, tap somebody and say, don't quit, don't give up. Come on, tell them again, don't quit, don't give up. I'm telling you, God is about to show up in your situation. Now, you may not feel that God should be letting happen what's happening to you. Well, why doesn't he just...
just deliver me now. Why does he have to let us go in the furnace? He could have, he's God. He could have come over here and took care of things. Why?
Glad you asked that. I don't know. But I do know this. That when you hold on to faith, you're at the brink of overcoming. You're at the moment of breakthrough and victory. I know this, if you don't let go of your history, your hope and your heritage, God will do for you today what he did yesterday. Because he's the same. Come on, tell me. He's the same yesterday, today. So he's going to do what he did before. So I'm going to keep on holding on. And just like Daniel, who went down in the lion's den. They threw him in the lion's den. And there was something in a lion that wasn't good for Daniel. Just like there was something in the fire that wasn't good for the three Hebrew boys. But God is in the midst of the trial. And in the midst of the fire. And in the midst of the lion. In other words, God showed up before you get to the lion's den and takes the bite out of the lion. That's why Daniel was able to lay his head in that mane of that lion, because there was no bite left in the lion, because he walks by faith and not by sight. I don't care who you are, what you are, how formidable you are, what you've done in the past, how many people you've eaten before I got here. I just got to serve you notice. I ain't like them. I'm a God that refuses to let go of his God. I'm a God that refuses to change my identity. I'm a God that won't let go of my faith. And I believe that God is about to take the bite out of your teeth. And here comes Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah thrown in from the top of the furnace. More than likely a 15 to 20 foot drop. Bam! On the bottom of that stone furnace. Thinking they'd either break a collarbone, bruise a rib or something. But they hit and they got up and they went, wow, I feel good. Know that I would. I feel good. Know that I would. So good. So good. That's what they were singing. You think James Brown wrote that song? No, that was the three Hebrew guys, man. They sang that song. He just copied them. I love that song. And I walk around saying, I feel good. You're all my musicians. They got up and said, no bruises, no bumps, no broken bones. Look at here, look at here. They're walking around, they're going, oh, Jesus, hey, Jesus. And all of a sudden, everything that was binding them was broke loose. They were walking through fire. They were holding fire in their hands. Fire. And it was no burn, because God took the burn out of it, just like he took the bite out of the lion. So the fire couldn't consume them. It didn't even hurt them. They're walking around going, hey, catch. I'd like to be catch with a hot coal, 2,500 degrees. Here you go. Going long. Come on, baby. Going long. They were having fun because God took the burn out of the fire. God took the smell out of the smoke. God took the cinder out of the flame. Do you understand? Because when they came out, they weren't bound. When they came out, they didn't smell like smoke. When they came out, there was nothing burning about them. The Bible said in the prophet Isaiah, even though the flood waters rise, it shall not overtake you. And even though the fire begin to blaze, it shall not consume you. But they that wait upon the Lord shall, don't make me do it, mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint, those that wait upon the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you today. Your fiery trial, the thing the devil thought he was going to kill you with, the thing that the devil thought he was going to take you out with. Ha ha! Devil, I'm going to laugh at you in advance. Why? God uses what the devil was going to use to destroy you. And God will turn it. Look at somebody and say, He'll turn it. Then look back at him and say, yes, He will. Okay, let's do that together. Some of you say He'll turn it. The other one say, yes, He will. Ready? Let's do it. I felt it. I felt it. Because in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 30, they come out of the fiery furnace. And the king, let me just tell you something. The devil is dumb. He doesn't know whether to kill you or promote you. He is schizophrenic. One moment he was trying to kill you. And what the devil meant for evil, God said, not on my watch. In other words, God heaps it back on him and the devil goes, no, I didn't mean to kill him. I meant to promote him. I didn't mean to hurt him. I meant to promote him. I didn't mean to cause him trouble. I meant to give him peace. I didn't mean to take his money. I meant to give him a prosperity. I meant to do this, God. Really, I did. I'll do this. And God said, just go do it now. Because here's what the scripture says. And the king promoted. The king promoted. Coming out of the fiery trial, the king promoted Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. He promoted them to a higher level of authority that they had after the trial than they had before the trial. I don't know what God's about to do to you in the midst of a trial, but I'm here to tell you, you're about to get promoted and go higher than you've ever been before if you'll just hold on to your faith. Come on, stand up to your feet. Come on, stand up to your feet. I'm done. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. I want you to take a person by the hand. Hold their hand. I want you to begin to pray for them that they will not quit. They will not falter. They will not bow. They will not wither. They will not die. They will not submit. They will not surrender to the God of this world. Come on, let's pray one for another that they will not change their identity, that they will not lose their heritage, their hope, and their help in God, that they will maintain their faith, not let go of faith. Come on, pray that they'll not let go of faith and that they will hold on to the true word of the living God. Pray for them now. Say, Father, take the bite out of the lion. God, take the fire out of the flame. God, take the smoke out of the furnace. God, give them peace. Give them peace, God, in their life. No matter what's going on in their marriage, in their money, in their health, in their present, in their past, in their future. God, I pray now, promote them. Promote them, God. Because we know promotion comes from the Lord. Come on, keep on praying. Come on, keep on praying. Come on, keep on praying. Thank you, Lord. We believe it, God. There's breakthrough in here this morning. There's not one person going down. There's not one person going to be left behind. There's not one person who's going to be consumed. But we're all coming through. We're all coming out. We're all breaking out. We're all coming out. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now I want you to break hands, lift your hands up to heaven, close your eyes, and begin to praise the God of Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah. Come on, begin to praise the God of Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Because even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, Jesus, He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I'm walking through fire. I'm walking through floods. I'm victorious in Jesus' name. Somebody give me a little victory grunt. Yeah. Let's worship Him. Come on, somebody, worship Him.
I'm victorious. Yeah. I'm victorious. My identity is in you alone, oh God. Oh God, oh God. I'm victorious, I'm victorious. 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 My identity is in God. My identity is in God. My identity is in God. And I'm victorious. My identity is in God. My identity is in God. My identity is in God. And I'm victorious. Hey, my identity is in God. My identity is in God. My identity is in God. Now I'm victorious. I'm victorious. My identity is in God. My identity is in God. My identity is in God. I'm victorious. One more time. My identity is in God. My identity is in God. My identity is in God. And I'm victorious. I'm victorious. My identity is in God. My identity is in God. My identity is in God. I'm victorious.
Don't allow the enemy to lie to you. Even though you did what they say you've done, put your foot down now. You are not who they say you are. You are only what God says you are. You're the redeemed. You're a son, daughter of God. You're a king. You're the queen. Hallelujah. You are royalty. And you are more than a conqueror. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so happy to announce to you, we worked it out where the first American in history has ever won a gold medal in the 2012 Olympics in judo to be our guest here in the East as well as in the West. So she will be here next week. You say, well, Pastor, why is that important? The devil tried to change her identity. She was training in judo as a young woman, 9, 10, 11 years old, 12 years old, and her coach was sexually abusing her. She overcame those odds, found her identity in God, committed herself to becoming a winner and more than a conqueror. And this last Olympics stood on the center podium and received the first gold medal in history of America. I want you to hear her. I want you to meet her. She's going to sign. She's going to sign autographs, give you pictures. You could see her gold medal that she won. You could talk to her, and she'll give testimony from this pulpit. Don't miss it. It's going to be a tremendous time and opportunity. And then we're going to sing happy birthday to you on that day. But I want you to know, if you're not born again this morning, don't leave this room without Christ. It's like your phone, you know, your smartphone. You may know you have one, but if it's not in you, if it's not on you, you say, well, I believe in God. Well, there's more to it than that. He has to be in you. You've got to know Him for yourself. So don't leave here without Him. You say, what do I do, preacher? Acknowledge you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died for your sin. And three, confess Him as the Lord of your life and ask Him to forgive you of your sin. It's a very simple process. You give us 365 days of your life, and I promise you, 1 year from today, you will be an absolutely different person. Become a disciple, not just a mental assenter. Become a disciple. Follow hard after God. Be passionate. And I swear God will change your life forever. If you're going to support us with the St. Jude co-sponsorship, let me know as soon as possible. I need to let them know whether or not we can move forward. If you can't give $1,000, give $5, whatever you can. Hopefully we'll have the amount and we'll be able to move forward and touch families who are in need of a miraculous God. I believe it's time for us to let the supernatural be released, don't you? I believe that. Well, live right, everybody. Love everyone. Pray hard. We'll see you on Wednesday night. I'm preaching, I think. Am I preaching? I think I am. If you're visiting with us, we've got 14 books left. If you'd like to meet us on the far right-hand side, T and I would love to say hello to you and shake your hand. All right. God bless you. Go Browns.